Hi, I'm Chris 746 from Toronto, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.
Hello, everybody. This is Faye or Misom speaking from Bern, Switzerland. And I am going to talk for a while, and hopefully App or anybody else would like to join me in the live stream. I have to explain some things about my discussion with Boogeyman, because he misrepresented me in a talk he had with App last Saturday. And nobody likes drama, but everybody loves drama. So here I am, and I'm going to speak for a while. So I don't remember the full extent of the discussion App with Boogeyman had, but at some point Boogeyman said that App is controlled opposition, and App asked, I'm not exactly now saying the same words, but this was the meaning. App says, oh no, who believes that? And Boogeyman answered, your friend Misom believes that you are controlled opposition. Okay. I had a long discussion with Boogeyman, and I think he might understand what I'm now talking about, because I don't like it when he doesn't understand a concept that I'm explaining. I think somebody, or he specifically, should try to improve his understanding, or ask back, or whatever. Anyway, the talk was about controlled opposition, among others. We discussed also many other things. We crossed whatever, you know, what is Rosalie Grabel, and when do you know this guy or that guy, because Boogeyman says that he was very early interested in the 9/11 story, and he was suspicious since at least 2007, if I'm remembering this right now. So for me, of course, it was very important to know what he knows, and to, you know, cross-check information from other outlets. As many of the people here that are still interested in 9/11 know, I am doing research about the narratives of the controlled opposition, which I call the Truth Movement PSYOP, or the Truth PSYOP. And I have published this on Google. It is a public Excel sheet, which everybody can go and download or whatever. I closed the editing section because somebody, which I don't know, was anonymous, changed something, obviously, and saved it on that document. But I have no info what this person changed. And because there is about 2,500 data sets, I cannot find it. When I go to the latest editing, I get only the information that Anonymous saved something on July. I don't remember now. Anyway, I closed the editing section, but anyone can download it and can use it for their own stuff, can critique it or add stuff to it. I would be very glad if people come around and have proof for whatever. There are thousands of questions which are not cross-checked and not verified, and which are published here, published there. This one said this, this one said that. And I am not, as I have to explain it once more. The work I am doing about 9/11 is that I am collecting all the available, as possible, all the available, because I don't have the capability to find everything, just all that I can reach, all that I can find, all that I can retrieve from the archive, on the internet, all that I can download. So what I'm trying to do with this work, is to have a narrative line, as we do in film analysis, for example, to have a narrative line with the various plots, with the variations of the plots, with the breaks in the narration. This is something very typical, which is used in film analysis. For example, if somebody wants to make a narrative analysis about Inception, which is well known to have various levels of time and narration and depth, etc., then this is a useful pattern, let's say, or concept, which is used in film analysis. And I came to that idea because I did my magister thesis on a film by David Lynch, which everybody knows, I hope, Mulholland Drive, which is a movie where the narration slips between dream and reality. So you have crossings of the plots and of the narrative lines, and you have to decode it, you have to make the sequencing. And of course, this is only the typical work, the formal work, because the interpretation of all this, which is to say, what did he want to tell us with his movie? Then completely a different pair of shoes, which is the, let's say, theoretical, interpretation is a good word, but maybe not good enough, because when you interpret something, you put it into a context, you have patterns with, and theoretical concepts to compare it and to find differences or similarities. Interpretation is from a philosophical point of view, interpretation is a concept which was overcome after the, let's say, invention or creation of the symbolical universe, quote unquote, the symbolical thinking, which started in the, maybe even earlier, but I think the solid manifest grounds were worked out in the 19th century. Don't remember now the names of these mathematicians. To make a long story short, the invention of the symbolical approach to patterns of movement or, you know, interpretation in the older language was the moment when those theoretical mathematicians and physicians were able, quote-unquote, to define that the relations between numbers are completely indifferent to the representation of these numbers. So when you say 2 and 2 make 4, which is true, this is a small reference to 1984, where 2 and 2 make 5, I think, or 3, I don't know. This has a deep meaning that could be analyzed or interpreted another time. Anyway, when you say 2 and 2 makes 4, then you could mean 2 apples and 2 oranges mean 4 fruit, pieces of fruit, or would be two apples and two apples, which would make four apples. But if you say two apples minus plus minus five apples, then this is not representing reality, because there are no minus five apples. Minus five apples is not a property of the universe. To speak with Hegel, I think, was that. This was, I'm not a mathematician, I'm not a computer geek. I tried to explain this in a simple way to differentiate between the interpretation of a story, of an event, of a biography, of whatever, is an older concept, which I would agree with most of the philosophers of the 20th century, because the prior to the 20th century were all agreeing that interpretation is the approach to things, to reality. But in the 20th century, of course, the separation of the symbolical approach if we don't interpret, if it's not about language, if it's not in human language, but it is symbolic, it is in numbers, then, it's difficult even to speak about it. But anyway, what I wanted to say, just don't, not to lose my line of thought. In the 20th century, it became manifest, the evolution of the symbolical approach to reality with numbers, and then even without numbers, just with operations, with plus and minus and whatever. I'm not talking about spacey, spooky stuff. I'm talking about the origins of the computer languages, which are not human languages, which are not understandable by humans. They are operations within this symbolical universe, which has only the rules of the laws that mathematics and mathematic physics have installed in order to create this abstract universe, let's say it. If somebody wants to read stuff about it, there is some guy called George Merbul, or even and Claude Shannon, and all these guys in the early years of computing. Of course, the grounds for that were the separation of the means of expression from what this means of expression do represent. So if I say tree, this word represents a tree. Everybody that knows the word tree has an imagination about what it means. But in the symbolic universe, there are no representations. There is no reference to the real world. And the only thing that that exists in that universe are the laws that the inventors of the symbolic universe gave to that symbolic universe. For example, 0 times 0 is 0. That's a law. You cannot, there is no zero, there is no, you know, there is nothing actually, but it is an important, I'm not even sure if this is a law, but I'm trying to give an example of it. Why am I saying all this? It is a big, of course, thing in our living time, because we are evolving fast track into the complete separation of human language from a symbolic language, and the aims or the methods that are used in order to make beings, existing living entities like human people or animals or plants, to make them compatible to the symbolic universe, which, as I said, does not have any reference in the real world, but it makes the real world readable, in quote unquote, because it's not language, it's not, the computer does not read words, that it makes only operations, symbolic operations, and it spits out some result in order to make this step in the evolution of symbolic readability of reality and of life and of nature and whatever. There have been quite big steps. Personally, I don't believe they are going to achieve it. It is not achievable because everything is limited. Even operations of computers are limited. Everything is limited, and therefore everything can only be partially implemented. So I guess there will be plans that are going to be readable directly, maybe through their whatever this stuff, these small things they have defined as the smallest part of organic life, called DNA and RNA and whatever, that can be achievable, but only partially. Reality always, or the real always, evades, and the concept called nature, which also is an invention, of course, in the universe of human language, the nature, the forces of nature, which are readable in the ancient human languages, but they will be also readable in the symbolic universe. But they evade both. So they are just out of reach for any kind of readability or usability or exploitability. Why did I do this long excursus into the whatever? And I hope it was at least understandable. I did this excursus in order to explain what kind of work I'm doing related to 9/11. I am collecting material, information, which will maybe, hopefully, one day allow me a full representation in words, that means in human language, not symbolic, of the various, maybe hundreds or more, narration lines and plot lines and breaks. Just to give an example, in Inception, which I referenced earlier, there were only 4 timelines and narration lines. And they were interfering, interjecting, breaking into each other, etc. In 9/11, my estimation is that we have maybe about 1,000, 800, 900, thereabout. Not, you know, about the big narratives, was it, which I can now mention, it would be interesting, but I have no feedback if somebody is listening to me or if this is, there is a reference. Okay.
Hi, Hi, this is John Friend.
This is Mizo.
Joe from Atlanta.
Joe Mama.
Gaia.
I'm Buck Cherry.
It's me.
You are listening to Fakeologist Radio at Fakeologist.com.
So I was very thankful for that app because I didn't have any knowledge if there was somebody listening or if it's recorded or live or whatever. Yes, I'm talking about the four main plot lines of the opposition or of the event at all. They were not all opposition. There is the first one is the official story. This story is also, you know, to be analyzed separately. There are also narration lines and breaks and whatever. All this stuff that is in that old concept. The other one is the inside job. Narrative line. Maybe I have to start earlier. These are not the narration lines that I'm now mentioning. These are parts of bigger narration lines. One narration line is the official, which says there are three places and one subject. The one subject attacks the three places. And that's the plot. That's the story. You know, Arab terrorists attack the Twin Towers, attack the Pentagon, attack or fall down in Pennsylvania. The second is, give me a second for my smoke. The second is not Arab terrorists, but others. Attack the Twin Towers, attack the Pentagon, attack or fall down in Pennsylvania. You see, in this storyline, these others could be, oh, Israelis did it, or whatever. You know, as you see, all the stories that we hear, all the interpretations, all the operatives that came out with some Dick Cheney, Rumsfeld, and Bush did it, are actually in this second story. You know, even the very, very well-known and prominent, I think, left political personality which wrote the book Crossing the Rubicon and who was a policeman in L.A. and who was involved in some whatever anti-drug stuff on TV. It's all in this second possibility. Somebody else did it, not the Arabs. But it happened, huh? We have these three places and we have the subject. So if the subject is not the Arabs, then somebody else is it. Then we have the third main narrative hypothesis, which is somebody, as in the second one, but did not attack the three places, did not attack the Manhattan, did not attack the Pentagon, did not fall down in Pennsylvania. So here is also, of course, the no planes story is here. We still don't know who, of course, the subject. We don't know the subject. So we have combinations. Israelis could have been those who did not attack the Manhattan Towers, but had planted bombs, for example. That's what Noam Chomsky is saying. When he was asked by Kevin Barrett, who is also a prominent narrative player in 9/11, when he was asked, Noam Chomsky said to him, you know, why do you insist that that Israelis did it. And if Israelis did it, they will say, okay, no problem. The Israelis put the bombs if there were no planes. That is the third possibility. So there are attacks, but the attacks are not terrorist attacks. They are, of course, prepared attacks, simulated attacks, even with the destruction of the real places, or with partial damage in Pentagon, or with just an empty hole in, what was the name, in Pennsylvania or Rome? I don't remember. And the fourth is the unknown subject. And there was no attack. Everything was prepared partially by the media, partially by the military, in cooperation, in order to present a story as a live event. And here, of course, we have also various other operational, in the opposition operational lines that have popped up in the early years, which is also cross-secting with the third narrative line, because of the planes and because of the no planes or the small planes or big Boeings. So, you know, there are so many sub possibilities. But these are the four, as I have, in my at least research, come to the hypothesis that these are the four main patterns that were used in order to produce this operation. There is no doubt that it was a production. We don't discuss if it was a production or not. We just discuss which parts, generally I mean, which parts of the production were real, which were not, who was harmed, who was not harmed, in order to dissect the slipstream of mixed reality, as David Lynch's fabulous critic Slavoj Žižek wrote in a book which was analyzing David Lynch's Lost Highway. And he called it slipstream of mixed reality. Yeah, that's somehow the approach. And I come now back to the point where I was discussing with Boogeyman. I like Boogeyman's interest in 9/11. I like also that he's suspicious of everyone. I think that's actually an advantage in when somebody comes in such surroundings. For me, I don't need the suspicion anymore because I'm not looking to prove something about a person or another person or whatever. I'm trying to collect my information to improve my hypothesis. But I think it's good to be suspicious, of course. And so I am not sure if Boogeyman understands my way of thinking and my way of thinking even about September Clues, Clues Forum, Ecologist, Lynn Ertel, Rick Siegel, Sophia Smallstorm, Jim Fetzer, all these prominent, let's say, platforms or personalities. They are, of course, generally speaking, of course, some of those guys surely are some payroll. But I will never be able to prove it, and it's just a waste of time to try to prove something like this, because it's not, nobody is interested if somebody is on some payroll. Or at least I am not. I am interested in trying to show the contradictions, for example, just yesterday I was inspired by the whole talk that has erupted lately on Fakeologist, and I went back and listened to the interview that Rosalie Grable gave on Harold Channer. I didn't remember the name the previous time I mentioned it. It was done in this December 30th of 2015, and it was aired in, I think, some months later. So it was maybe the last interview that Rosalie Grable gave, and she speaks there a lot about her life, about her origins, about how she came to Manhattan. She never even mentions Lynn Ertel, and she was called by her to go there. Maybe she didn't want to, I don't know, but maybe Lynn can tell us a bit more about how she invited her there, because this is all important information, which one day it will be revealed as true or not true, because it will contradict other stories. And in the end, many things depend on the truthfulness of information that people give in the surroundings. I also listened yesterday to the first interview that I was able to find, which I have also, of course, in my archive, but it is still also on YouTube, on this Harold Channer show. He's an old guy who is working at this Manhattan News Network. It's something like a non-governmental, but maybe community stuff. I don't know the whereabouts of municipalities in the United States. But I think it is something from the community, which has started its operations in 93 or 95. So somewhere about the first alleged bombings of the towers. And where also Paula Gloria's show was installed. And now that I have remembered the names, I will tell you the other ones who were there. That was Alan Steinfeld, Steinfeld, who is an esoteric guy who did stuff also with this Chopra, which is Indian, you know, esoteric whatever. Then there was the author of The Celestine Prophecies, whose name now evades me again. I can't get it. But all these guys were in this studio of Paula Gloria, and I was also looking, which was the first time that Marcus Allen called in. And it was really very early when Paula Gloria started with her. And in my estimation, the connection there was that Marcus Allen was a friend of Paula Gloria's sister. Maybe that could also be just a story. I don't know. Marcus knows it. He can explain it if he needs to explain it. And this was the platform where one of the sub-narratives of the third category, as I told you, was implemented for a bigger audience in the heart of Manhattan, where all this, of course, had happened, and where it was important to have a foot in the movement. Yes, and what I was trying to say is that this is the work I'm doing. I'm trying to collect and to categorize and to put tags on stuff. I will tell you an example. In this data set, which you can find, you will see that there are entries, for example, for monikers or nicknames, how you call them in English, I don't remember. For example, there is NG2GH, some guy who was researching in the early years. early years, you did many videos about TV fakery, or there is Ningen, or which I don't know who this guy is, but this is a name in the storyline. So I keep not only the people that allegedly have put out their real names, but I collect also all these alternative researchers, and I put tags on them. This one has a tag, for example, no planes, no Pentagon plane, no plane in Shanksville. No, the name came back, Shanksville in Pennsylvania. And the interesting thing about this kind of work is that it allows you to have on one, let's say, display things that you would never have thought that have any, you know, importance. For example, Nico Haupt, who was a main attractor of information and actions in the early years. I'm sorry, just a minute. I have to move my chair into the shadow. So, I'm back. Yeah, Nico Haupt, for example, was writing in a German internet outlet that was not so, you know, as it is today. Everyone has a website and there are hundreds of millions of web magazines, etc. Telepolis.de, I think, for Germany. Telepolis was one of the most prominent and serious left or critical thought internet bases in Germany. And Nico Haupt, by accident, was writing there prior to 9/11. The same did a German guy who is a quote-unquote real journalist by profession. I have to give you the name maybe the next time. I don't remember it now. And this second guy had the had a job there to write a series about the World Trade Center. So he was hired by Telepolis.de prior to 9/11, just, you know, some weeks prior to 9/11, in order to write a general, you know, of general interest piece about the World Trade Center, not about 9/11. Allegedly, he did not know that 9/11 would happen, was going to happen. So, and on the day of 9/11, this guy, I don't remember his name. I hope it comes later back. So this guy was a journalist at Telepolis.de, and Nico Haupt was also a guy who had written one or two pieces for Telepolis.de. Now I got some company, I guess.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you doing in Bern, Switzerland?
Oh, I'm okay. I just started talking about the misrepresentation of myself and my concept by Boogeyman, and I'm a little bit also expanding now on what it is and what it did. And at the moment, I was saying that, I don't know, were you listening on the live stream?
No, I was not. I forgot. I knew you were there, but then I forgot to check it because I got distracted. Are you saying Boogeyman is causing trouble?
No, Boogeyman is an interested guy in this stuff. I think Everyone who starts getting interested in that.
After the break, Ab and Mizzle.
Yeah.
They wanna mask you like a criminal. They wanna keep me home and inside. They wanna mask you just like Hannibal. Immune resistance is flawed.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
You can have my vaccination. You can have the change that it brings.
Now we're back.
Yeah. Am I coming through well, Ab?
Very well.
Okay, cool. Yeah, you asked me about boogeyman, then I would like to end the phrase that I was talking about before you entered, and then we can also talk freely. Okay,
go
about
ahead.
Boogeyman. No, I don't think boogeyman is... okay, I will say what I understand. I don't have a full picture of him. We talked 2 or 3 times on his own channel where he invited me. I find him very interesting. He was allegedly on the scene following all this stuff, you know, 2006 and 7, and all your productions and Marcus Allen, Truth in 7 Minutes and Hoaxbusters and all. So he knows a lot, and he's now coming out, let's say, and wants to work on that material. But for me, he has an approach which I cannot share, you know, because I don't know. He has. I'm not hearing you now. You are not coming through well.
I'm not talking. I'm listening.
Are you listening? Yeah. For example, you know, I haven't talked about him for very long. Which parts he thinks were real from the footage of this Edna Cintron, which was not a jumper, as he explains. But, you know, these are partial elements for me. I don't go there in my research. I have an estimation, or, you know, most probably it was prepared as footage. This specific part of Edna Cintron, I cannot prove it. That's the reason why I stopped to do this kind of work, which also September Clues did, Clues Forum did, you know, to try to prove, is this real, is this not real. I am analyzing the info that I collect in order to create an hypothesis about the narration lines and the plot lines and the contradictions, etc.
Yeah.
And so I'm not sure that my kind of thinking is compatible with boogeyman. For example, he understood that I think that you are controlled opposition. I never said that. I never said that. It could be. I cannot know it. I have no proof of it. And the only thing that I don't, that is not helpful for me is that you are not interested in 9/11 research. So I have to do everything myself. Nobody is interested in this research. But I am thankful that the platform is here and I can meet other people. But I cannot rule it out. You might be. But for boogeyman, there is no difference between, oh, I think somebody is controlled opposition. No, you cannot think something. You have to prove it. And I don't try to prove that. I don't try to prove that anyone is controlled opposition. Even the term is very misleading, you know, because which part of the narrative would who control, you know? You have first to find out the narratives. You are not going to come to any conclusion about controlled opposition, quote unquote, if you don't have the narrative lines. Nobody has done this work, which I am doing. You get it, what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I think it's good that he is there. He should just, you know, improve his own research skills and whatever. He said he would like to help me. I said I would be thankful. I don't see how at the moment, but maybe we find out. Maybe he has a place where I can upload all the videos that I have, this early stuff and the early audios and all the stuff, so that it can be reachable for others, because on your forum you said you don't have enough space and the fake CoTube is also very expensive. So, yeah, at the moment...
Yeah, I think you can upload it to FakeoTube if you want, because FakeoTube now has some extra space, as far as I can tell. Yeah. Do you have an account on FakeoTube?
I had an account when I was trying to do it, but then I remember that we discussed that it's not a good idea to upload all this material there. Because
how much do you got? How much do you have? And what is it exactly?
How much I cannot answer, because I don't know this stuff with the megabytes or kilobytes or terabytes. I know that my son brought me an external hard disk where I have saved it all, because I could not save it on my laptop. And it is important stuff which you cannot find in that organized manner. For example, the series of BS registration. BS registration is a name of a researcher, a video researcher. His alias was also Fred, and he was also mentioned many times by Simon Schack. It could be also Simon Schack is BS registration. I have no idea. I'm just saying what I know. And he produced a series of maybe 8 videos or 10 which analyze the fake parts of the life. One very prominent is 9/11 Octopus. Another one is called Download the Moon Low or something like that. You know, and I found them on various platforms and on the archives, and by asking some guys in England to send them to me, and I have now the full collection of this material. This is material which is, one must say, historical, even if this guy, we don't know, could be also, you know, an agent and produce extra some stuff. It's historical material. If someone wants in 30 years or 50 years to research it, they would have to have it. And, some stuff like that, you know, or other guys which are not around anymore, which... Psyche Hacker. You know a guy called Psyche Hacker?
No, not really, no.
Okay. I have the most complete list of the No Planers research. You know, which were producing under monikers, of course, not their real names. And I have maybe 1/10 of their productions in a whole. So if they produced in the years 2005, 6, 7, if there were, let's say, 800 YouTube videos about TV fakery, I have maybe 100.
Okay.
You still there?
Yeah.
Okay, because I got a phone call and I didn't know if it interrupts. Yeah. No,
yeah, sometimes it does.
You asked me about Boogeyman. I think maybe it is really... I talked also with Linda shortly and with... what is Fast Value, yeah, which I have very, very much respect for, both of them. And... I jumped in the stream, you know, and it was about, I started, of course, when I was asked I was asked, and I started talking about 9/11 again, and so it deformed all the discussion. And I think that's a problem, because I am the only person actually that is interested in this topic. So maybe next time when I want to talk about, it was Linda's proposal, that I make a note in the live stream notes that I'm going to talk about 9/11. If somebody is interested, they can join me. And if not, you can make a note when you publish it, or you can also not publish it and just keep it and send it to me so that I have it in my archive, you know, so that it is not disrupting all the other discussions.
Which no, don't worry, you're not disrupting. That's, you're not disrupting. That would be good. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I think I would like to do it because, you know, it comes in that discussion with Fars and Linda. You know, Fars is a very strong protector for the Clues Forum. He was one of the most active people there. He's an old man. He's a very serious guy. I've talked with him about a lot of things. I have, as I said, much respect for him.
When did but you guys, did you record the conversation, or this was private?
No, this was just on the other channel, you know, the gardening channel, which I'm also on.
Oh, the gardening channel. Okay. Because yes. Mars Valley rejoined Fakeologist Discord after he quit because of Boogeyman. And I don't think he has to be in the room for me to approve him. I can't just approve him until I can hear his voice. That's how I think it works.
Mars Valley left because of Boogeyman?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not good. I listened to that. I hope it's that I'm remembering now, and you not some other talk, because there were quite some chats. But in one chat, Boogeyman misunderstood Fars Value 100%. I was listening. This is so, you know, it was a point of that discussion where Boogeyman was always what's the word? Reactive, and Fars Value became sarcastic because he stopped taking Boogeyman seriously, because it was not possible to take him seriously. He was only reacting, you know. It was just a complete stupid discussion. And I think Boogeyman had a bad start here. I think the reason might be that with his kind style, he was understood by some guys that he was trolling. I don't think he was trolling, though. And, you know, it's not my channel. Do what you want, what you think is right. I have a contact with him. I will keep him as long as I believe it makes sense for me. But I would not, you know, throw away younger people that join the channel and are interested in 9/11, because maybe there comes a generation now that are interested. And it is very difficult, you know, to come to I have only to remember my own first, let's say, 6 months, where I realized that there was this unreal list of agents, of operators on your website, which had prominent guys, you know, Chris Hedges and, you know, philosophers and whatever. And he was noticing there that they were CIA or MI6. And I had no understanding for that in those times. Now I can see that it is possible. Of course it is possible, because most of the university professors are affiliated. All intelligence is intellectual and is academic. And it is very far more than what we think, some guys in some offices, you know, with gray hats. It's all the society has become an intelligence operation. but I think people that join anew need time to understand it, and they need also to be a little bit patient when they talk to elders.
Yes, respectful.
Yes, because Fars Valu is, for me, he was the most trustable moniker when I was on Clues Forum. And I discuss with him from time to time about my hypothesis that not all the footage could have been prepared and should have been prepared. He is open to that possibility, but he needs the proof, which is understandable. But I don't have the proof yet because I'm not at that point where I'm not now, let's say, you know, going to analyze the filmic material. I am still in the first section of the work, which is collecting the most important narrative sets of data.
Yes.
So you want us to change the topic? You can talk about anything.
Oh, yeah, anything you want. Anything you want, Ism.
So anything you want.
If you want to create a FakoTube account, you can start uploading if you want some of your favorite videos. I'll authorize that.
Yeah, I think, no, it's too much work just to selection about favorite stuff. You know, there is enough stuff there. And it's good stuff. There is no need. I'm going to find a solution for that, you know, structured and organized and readable, findable and attributable to the subjects that created them and in the timeline that they were created. This is a different, you know, thing. It's not about just looking movies or videos. I don't want to diminish the FakoTube. It's just a different concept.
Okay. I appreciate that.
But if somebody, you know, if someone says, oh, can you pass me the 9/11 octopus because I cannot find it on YouTube anymore, I'm going to do it and put it out there to the share platforms and you can have it. But I'm not, you know, I don't want to lose time with uploading videos which nobody's interested in now. This is my, you know, my pensionaire job now, my pensionaire hobby. The 9/11 research. I have
oh,
10
coming
more
up to an anniversary in 10 days.
Me or you?
We. September 11th is in 10 days.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But it's the 21st. It's not important. Is it important? Is it a Freemason code?
What is the 21st? No, I said in 10 days it'll be September 11th. It's September 1st now.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. Yeah, but I asked, is the number, because we are in the year 22 and it will be the 21st anniversary.
Oh, no, I didn't even think of that. No, I don't go too deep into the numerology. No, I don't think it means much. Do you?
Okay. No, not really. I think there is something to it, but it is over. It is misleading as an operation. You know, it's just, you know, it's a very specific interest, which for example, states in that the origins of numbers are the Hebrew alphabet or something. Or at least there is some school that tries to prove that. I don't know. I'm not interested in that kind of, you know, symbolism. Symbolism doesn't interest me. And numbers are symbolic. That was the first part of my audio today. You should listen to it. I think it's interesting. Which explains the difference between symbolical universe and language, human language. And I explained it because of the methods that have been created with computeristic, of course, to make reality or nature or human beings or plants readable through computers. That's, yeah.
After the break, Avin Mizzim.
Hi, this is Matthew.
This is Maria Lakita.
Mark Manuel.
This is OBF.
Noise level. Polly Milson.
You are listening to Fakeologist Radio at Fakeologist.com.
Yeah, coming back to Boogeyman now. Yeah, coming back to Boogeyman now, I'm reminded that one interesting point that he brought up in the discussion I had with him was that there is a difference, which I never thought about actually before. There is a difference between September Clues, the movie with the parts and the addenda, or what is it called? There is a difference between this filmic September Clues and the Clues Forum. And this would be also interesting to have an optic about it and an understanding of it. But it's not in my priority list very high, you know. yeah, there are many questions there. Why did it never be, you know, retracted? Why is it still the best introduction? I mean, September Clues, the movie. Why is it still the best introduction in order to get somebody interested in the topic? Although it might be wrong, you know, many, many, many questions.
The interest in 9/11 just wanes year after year. It just goes down, I think.
Yeah.
Don't you? It can only go down over time.
Yes, of course. And on the other hand, you know, the farther away an event is, the more people start to apprehend or perceive it with their day-to-day perception. So if you now look back and say, oh, wow, Pearl Harbor, and they didn't have an idea that they were coming, it sounds really very, very strange. Huh? So 9/11 and there were planes into buildings, that's very strange, you know. It becomes normalized somehow and depleted from its previous, all this panic and shock and awe, which was part of that operation, has left. Of course, it has been replaced with a bigger shock and awe about deadly viruses and deadly air and deadly water and whatever. For me, it's just, you know, it is historical now. It's 20 years ago, at least. It is historical. It is important. It gives us an understanding also about what happened in Europe, what happened with all this in the 1970s with the Gladio. Was that true, or were they really killed, and by whom? If terrorism was done by the intelligence, then the intelligence would have killed all these guys, you know? The German director of the National Bank, or who wanted to delete the depth of the African states. I don't remember his name now. Allegedly, he was killed by RAF, but this was never proven. You know, there are many, 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 many questions, and I know we cannot have a big impact, and it's not really about impacting. We are impacting anyway with our thoughts and with our style of life, etc. But it's about curiosity and being able to say something that could inspire others to also say something. You remember Alice in Wonderland app?
Yeah, I know the thing.
There is a part
down the rabbit hole.
Yeah,
I don't think I ever watched the whole thing.
I haven't watched it. I only read it, but it's a long time ago. I remember only some of the good parts, you know. There is a part where Alice says to Humphrey, Humpty Dumpty, or what was the name of the rabbit?
Don't know.
She says, But he says to her, you cannot talk now. You have to wait until I say something. And then Alice says, but if somebody says something only when someone else has said something previously, then nobody will talk anytime. That's so clever, I think. You know, talking is about talking. That's all.
Yeah. If you have that infinite condition, it will never be satisfied if you look at it logically.
Exactly. And that's the meaning of it. Yeah. It's endless, and it's exactly the opposite as the symbolic universe, as I was explaining, because operations, symbolic operations, which means calculations in the symbolic, with the symbolic laws that that are where computers are based on, not only numerical symbols, but just symbolical laws, they are not endless. They are endless. They are endless. They have an end point, and then the result comes out. And that's the difference between human language and symbolic language, mathematic or computer language, etc. And that's why we could be very hopeful, actually. Of course, that's also the reason why they want to destroy human language. They want us to make automata, you know, that answer only yes, no, maybe, yes, no, maybe. But this is not possible. You cannot destroy human language because it's not just a tool. It's part of the body, part of the experiences we have. You know, it's much bigger. It's part of nature, actually. Oh, I'm digressing up. Let's end it here.
Okay.
Is that okay for you? Unless you have something interesting.
Yeah, no, I don't really have much right now. I do a lot of talking, as you know, on my show. Yeah. Are you listening to my shows?
I tried to listen to, and for me, you know, it depends. When you're doing shows with Rick, I can listen to them. He's not so straight Australian, but it depends really on the topics, and maybe I skip them and wait for another.
Yeah,
there is also no description of what is the content, so I have to go with, is Rollo on? I'm not listening.
Oh, no Rollo from Ism, eh?
No Rollo from Ism. I love him, but I cannot listen to him. He's just talking all around the place. There's nothing, that keeps my interest alive during the time.
Yeah, I have two audio streams. I got the FAK and the FAC. The FAK is my nightly show. Yeah,
yes.
Oh, good. Good, 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 good. Tonight I'm talking with Tiago about his Died Suddenly group. Are you on Facebook? Feces Book?
No. No, I'm not.
You should just create.
But I know now who you're talking about. Yeah.
Create a phony profile and go on there if you want.
I have a phony profile, but I'm not sure I can retrieve it again. I lose my passwords all the time. And to
you
got
to go to Robo. Everyone should download RoboForm. Go to the blog and click on the top. Things Ab likes, go download RoboForm. It's a password manager. I hear this so often that people can't control their passwords.
Oh, I have
really need some
my passwords. It's not a problem. I just sometimes, you know, forget them, then I change them, and I don't keep the changed, you know, something like
that. Well, that's what I mean. If you do it on RoboForm, it'll keep track of all that.
Okay. You want to talk
really
about
tech,
I know. I don't want to talk about tech.
Well, that was just a brief moment of tech. But getting back to Facebook, Tiago started a group called Died Suddenly, and he's getting 10,000 people joining a day. It's a private group on Facebook. That is
cool. I heard it, in your interview. Yeah.
Does that mean
really
there's
cool.
that many stories? So many stories. There people want to tell their stories. Many. It's really crazy. Yeah.
It's coming true even here in Switzerland. Yeah. Died suddenly.
Yeah, what's happening?
But yeah. Tell me something up. I have a question. Are you going to do this monthly show with Lynn Ertel?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I'll bring her back anytime. You want to be on it? Back?
Pardon?
Do you want to be on it? With her?
No, not necessary. You know, I'm interested in what she has to say. And she talks about 9/11 a lot. And, I mean, of course I would like to talk with her. She's one of the oldest and, she knows so many things. I'm just not sure that she wants to talk with me because I am nobody. I am not some kind of personality in the movement or something. I'm just an old philologist, historian, and actually art historian, not a real historian.
I don't think you're a nobody. You've done a ton of research.
Yeah.
Give yourself more credit.
I prefer to be a nobody. That's all. But
you
anyway,
came along later in the scene, so you have a different perspective.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. No, I would like to hear her. And please do an interview with her again, and maybe more than monthly. And maybe you could also do an interview again with Simon Schack. To ask some questions about the stuff that we must know. And maybe even with Marcus Allen, who left, and I think it's not good that he left. I need him for my 9/11 research.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, it's hard to keep people engaged. Yeah, maybe we'll talk to Simon again on 9/11, although he always tries to talk about Tychos, because that's what he cares about. That's his thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Everyone has their own interest at their own time. It's like herding cats.
Yeah.
And I invite guests a lot, and then sometimes they don't show up. They have all kinds of reasons that they can't get. It's not easy. It looks easy in the end, but boy, people make things difficult. Always. Yeah. Always people.
Okie dokie up. So let's close it here. I think it was not so bad. Is that okay for you?
Back to the garden?
Back to the garden, yes.
You're very dedicated to that.
It's my life now, I'm living alone. I mean, not alone in this house, but without children. My granddaughter comes here once a month, and I go there every second week. So this is my real hobby in summer. Yeah, reading and gardening.
Are you going on vacation in the winter?
No, I don't leave the country anymore. I'm not going to do this passport. I'm not crazy. I will become the new spaces that Klaus Schwab announced. He said in 30 years, those who do not take this mRNA injection will be as the monkeys are today to the humans. I will be the monkey.
Did he say that in German? That's terrible. I've never heard that.
That's really. Those who do not make this, improvement with the mRNA stuff are going to be the same different in 30 years to those who will do as monkeys are today to humans. And
Is that an English clip?
I don't think it was a clip. It was some talk that he did. If I find it again, I will send it to you. Yeah. I will be a monkey.
That guy's a demon. The only good news is I don't think he'll survive to see anything he really wants to see in society.
Yeah, that's a good thing to believe in. Okay,
so hopefully he'll be burning in hell when it happens.
For him, I hope there is hell.
Yeah.
Hey, be well and see you soon.
Take care. Don't forget tomorrow morning, the Rick and Rollo show. And after that, we have the Living Man after party.
Friday. You come,
Joan. Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. Why does it feel like Friday today? You're right. A day after tomorrow.
A day after tomorrow. You're right. Okay. Yes, I remember.
You're right.
Maybe I joined just to listen.
My wires crossed. Yeah, make sure you join in. That'll be fine.
Bye-bye,
Ab. Take care. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Take care. Bye.
Would you like to support Fakeologist.com and all the content we're creating? We operate on the value for value principle, where you pay whatever you can for whatever value you feel you've received. We accept donations in almost every form, from PayPal to Bitcoin. Please go to Fakeologist.com/donate for your payment options. Thank you for your support.